You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Our calling number is 909-265-9189. It's 909-265-9189. I'm your host, Jerome. On this program, we have as our main topic television programs. Now, I know this is going to seem a little different for Black on Black Crime, but what we're going to do is we're going to start a new category called Crimes Against Black Men, the television show Scandal versus Deception. We also have Joe Jackson versus, you know, he made a statement about beating or whipping kids. So we're going to talk about that as another topic. Joe Jackson versus beating your kids. And we have something in the world of entertainment. Aaron McGruger is thinking about coming out with a new movie, but we'll talk about that. And we have more. Also, in case you didn't hear last week's program, we had a good program. You can catch it in archives on EspritRadio.soulofsyracuse.com. You can go to Ask Kathleen Network. We keep them over there. But that one was actually a pretty good program as well. It was the Kimora, I think it was Kimora Lee, right? No, we did Kimora Lee last time. But anyway, just go check it out. I know we did some more hate stuff, so you can check that out. Also, before we really get started on the program, we have some news extras as well on this show that we want to talk about. But first, let me bring in, from Houston, let's bring in Daniel Woodson. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing all right, sir. What's happening today?
I wanted to start off the program before we really got into it and talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, because I know you checked out the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
And, oh, I'm sorry, I called it the Super Bowl. It was Beyonce performing with a game played in between between the performances.
Did she perform during the halftime? I did not see that.
Oh, you missed that?
I am lying through my teeth.
I was going to say, let me recap. That's where I was going to go with this.
There are no words to describe, my brother. It was just a lot of
Exactly. She didn't even get as much hate as I thought she would. You can't really hate her.
You can't.
Yeah, I think people kind of pulled back and conceded to the hate on her on this round. And when she had her press conference, for example, she had the press conference where she sang the national anthem and then said, any more questions? I think that did it. So the haters just sat back and waited for her, and she put on a show kind of beyond belief, and she knocked the lights out of the Superdome. I have to give her credit for that.
I was blinded by the lights long before that.
Yeah, again, I knew somebody was going to play a game before she came on and then after, but that was pretty much the entertainment. Although it was a really good game, but she was, it was her show. And by the way, I have to tell you, I was in Houston at the rodeo and saw, you know, Destiny's Child perform back in the day, and I have been, how can I put this in a very light way since the ladies aren't on right now, but She always does a good job in her live performances. So anybody who hates, even on TV, which she does a great job, the child can sing. So you have bumped your head if you think Beyonce cannot sing. Just wanted to share that. And by the way, she formally announced tour dates right after the show last night. That's what I'm going to call it. On her website, just hours after singing for halftime in New Orleans. She's going to kick off her world tour in Belgrade on April 15th and make stops through the UK and Ireland April 29th and May 7th. Then she's taking a month off of her European tour. I guess it ends in Stockholm on May 29th. Then she resumes at the Staples Center in Los Angeles on the 28th, and she ends on August 3rd in the newly built Barclays Center, which her husband, Jay-Z, owns a share. And the couple rents out this basement suite for $1 million a year.
Mm. Well, I like the name of her tour, Mrs. Carter's Tour, something, World Tour or something like that.
And the funny thing is, we're not even hating on Jay-Z for that. We're just like, well, whatever.
If you got the charisma and whatever else he has, that you fell in love with him,
right?
That's a man, and all I'm all for it.
Right, you know,
as long as he does right by her, you know, when a sister's got a good man and does right by her, then I'm all for it.
Oh, right, because they're out of the atmosphere right now, so I can't even imagine messing up in that situation, in that case. Oh, by the way, her last tour, which was called I Am Tour, it grossed $119.5 million in 2009. I think she's going to break that. And she said to already have recorded 50 songs while working on her follow-up album to 4. So she has 50 songs already.
That's her work ethic.
And I have to say about her, just generally about her work ethic, Beyonce still, as a performer, is up there with the best of them. I say the kids do slack and stuff on their stage presence, but she really works out. I think since she was little, I guess they always worked on them performing live at the drop of a dime.
Yeah, as she said, she practices until her feet bleed. So she is into it, making sure she does. She says she's a perfectionist, so she definitely puts forward her best foot and hip and thigh.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I want to say what's up to my Sims family. As I was there watching the Super Bowl, I kept thinking there was not one person in the place that did not respect her. It's like, y'all can eat until the halftime show, and then everybody sat still. It's like having a band at the football game, right? Everybody moves during the game, but once the halftime show starts, it was done. So it's pretty cool. Oh, by the way, did you see you saw the commercials, the Bud Light featuring Stevie Wonder and Zaldana?
Mm-hmm.
Zaldana was his assistant. They had some okay commercials this year, so nothing in particular that I want to talk about, but any of them in particular stood out for you?
Well, the favorite one I had was the ketchup stain that was in the shape of Joe Montana on the 49ers jersey.
Oh, right. That was that Tide commercial. That was excellent.
Yeah, and everybody wanted to come from near and far to see the stain and take pictures of it, this, that, and the other. And then he asked his wife, what happened to my jersey? She says, I washed it. He's like, what? And then she has on the Ray Rice jersey. Like the Ravens fan and kind of winked at the camera. I think that was the best one to me.
Yeah, I like that commercial. I was thinking I didn't pay attention to enough of them to say which one was the best one, but I actually like that commercial. I can't even think of a commercial that I like, but I did definitely like that commercial. I know that's kind of the big thing in the blogosphere about commercials and who did the best in commercials and which one were bombs. I think a bunch of commercials are always bombs, so I don't really... I can't really get into that. I know they talked about the GoDaddy commercial where the model is kissing the nerdy guy.
Yeah, that was his moment in the sun, most definitely.
Yeah. See, I can't say that was crossing the line one way or another. I could just say it was just there. That's all.
Well, I would love to have been the nerdy guy. I mean, when will he ever kiss a woman like that? I mean, after the show, maybe. I mean, after... getting a little airtime in 15 minutes of fame, who knows what could happen with his career. I mean, if it happened for William Hung, it could happen for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, I have to say that about the Gangnam Pistachio commercial. Now, that is 15 minutes of fame. That's not 15 seconds of fame. That's a lot of fame that he got off of the internet. Well, I'm sorry. The biggest one is Justin Bieber, but... beyond that, he has to be running close second to getting popularity from being on YouTube.
I had never heard of that guy. I had never heard of that commercial, so that was all new for me.
I've never watched it. Honestly, I've just never... I know where it comes from just from doing news and watching all of the reaction of people mocking him, but I actually never watched his video.
I had never heard of him, so that was all new for me.
I was going to say, yeah, not really that, wasn't that impressive, by the way, for me. But he definitely is cashing in for a quick 15 minutes of fame of, I guess if you like it, you like it. Because we're going to cover some topics today, and if you like it, you like it, but we're just not going to go with it. So just wanted to start this show on that foot and take a quick PSA. The ladies aren't with us. Commissioner's not here right now, and Kai is on the road, so she'll be calling in a little bit. But I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime with Jerome. We have Daniel in today. You can call in. You can join us at 909-265-9189 and join in on a conversation. Our main topic today, our new category, crimes against black men. We're talking scandal versus deception, the two NBC and ABC shows. We're talking about that, and we're going to talk about we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about Joe Jackson and his statement about beating kids. I thought it was funny to me. But so we're going to talk about that. But first, before we take a break, I just want to say this is Black History Month. So with Black History Month, we have I have a comment that was sent in from George Kilpatrick. George joined us. George Kilpatrick from WCNY. He just made a comment about it's Rosa Parks' birthday. This is her 100th birthday, and she reminded us that change involved a simple revolutionary act. Her decision sparked a movement. So, like Rosa, be bold, be the change. What will you do today? That was sent in by GK George Kilpatrick. Now, again, this is Black on Black Crime. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break. I see you have Kai on, so we won't bug her right now. But we'll be back after we take a quick break. You're listening to Black on Black Crime.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. Ah, that's a good one. Get up and dance, baby. If you're driving, pull over to the shoulder. If you're at work, yeah, time to violate the employee handbook. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, visit fightarthritispain.org, baby. This message is brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Columbine.
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood. Oak Creek. Newtown.
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 How many more?
How many more?
How many more colleges?
How many more classrooms?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more houses of faith?
How many more shopping malls?
How many more street corners?
How many more?
How many more?
Enough.
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 Demand a plan.
Right now. As a mom.
As a dad.
As a friend.
As a husband.
As a wife.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American.
As a human being.
For the children of Sandy Hook.
Demand a plan. No more lists of names. It's not too soon.
It's too late.
Now is the time.
Before we all know someone who loved someone on that list.
No more lists.
No more.
Who they might have been. No more.
If we had just done something yesterday. It's time.
We can do better than this.
We can do better than this.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act.
Demand a plan. Right now.
Right now.
You! Demand it!
Enough.
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 Oh, the
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
Seems like you guys got a little gassed
enough
up.
Already. Come on, guys. Next question.
What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color?
Yes.
Purple.
What's your favorite animal?
Sea turtle.
What's your bedtime? Do you believe in space aliens?
I love puppies.
Hash browns or home fries?
Home fries.
Do you like my dress?
Why can't you guys ask good questions like this?
For a chance to interview an NFL player, join Visa NFL Fan Offers and make your season epic.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know the number? 909-265-9189. Call in and join us on the program. We have Daniel on with us today. Kai, I think we lost her, so Kai, if you're listening, call back in, and we'll bring you on. If you want to write us during the week, you can always write us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's Black on Black Crime, bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. All right, Daniel, still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, before we go, you know, we're going to go into our first topic of today, and this is the world famous Joe Jackson. Now, Joe Jackson, I'm not sure if you heard some of the comments that he made, I guess in a magazine interview, but Joe Jackson, who's the patriarch of the infamous, I wouldn't say infamous, this was written by somebody else, written by, he's the patriarch of the Jackson family of performers. He argued that parents today are too soft when it comes to disciplining their kids. He said, they're too soft. One of the reasons I say that is because nowadays, kids are nowadays killing their parents. In some cases, is what Joe Jackson said. He said, let's get into this beating thing. He said, there's no such thing as beating a kid. He said, you whoop them or punish them over something they did, and they'll remember that. They'll remember in such a way that they won't do it again. He said, there's a difference between beating and whipping a kid. That's how it was. And so when asked, you know, the world's greatest entertainer, Michael Jackson, about it, when he was asked about beating or whipping Michael, he said, I whipped him with a switch or a belt. He said, I never beat him. You beat someone with a stick is what Joe told the BBC in 2003. He said, I'm glad I was tough because look what came out of it. I came out with some kids that everybody all over the world loves, and they treat everybody right. So we'll start, Daniel, and let you tackle this one. What do you think about Joe Jackson's comments? Not Joe Jackson per se, because I know we can easily jump on him. But what do you think about what he's saying about disciplining and raising kids?
Well, I definitely believe or agree with him as far as disciplining children. I didn't see his interview nor read any of his interviews, but I was raised in a family in a household where my mother didn't spare the rod. She was very firm. She was very strict. And I think I turned out all right. I think people need boundaries, children specifically. And if you're not providing that for them, then they're going to go off a tangent and typically do things that aren't in line with understanding discipline. I agree with it fully. I actually don't understand why they've taken corporal punishment out of schools, because children run roughshod over teachers. And if you can ask any educator, it's very difficult to teach in that type of atmosphere. So if it's not, if you're not disciplining the children at home, you can't discipline them in school, where are these children going to get the discipline? And then in the meantime, they're disrupting all the other children. So it makes it very difficult to learn in that type of atmosphere. So somebody's got to do it. The parents should be saddled with that responsibility.
I agree with that. The bigger thing is, well, I'll answer it from this perspective. I think when they took the punishment, like saying that it's illegal for you to spank your kids, I think that was from people who have other people raise their kids. You know when people have nannies and all of that stuff, they are far removed from actually raising kids. And so when you talk about sending kids to boarding school and you can talk, give them time out or not give them money for allowance, that is an option for some people, but a very small few people that you can bribe your kids all day. So we did not grow up during a time that people felt like that was the right way to go. I mean, our elementary school principal used to paddle. So I remember those days. I never got paddled, but I can tell you this. I remember, I think my brother tells a story where the principal was listening through the loudspeaker in his classroom. They had a substitute teacher. Everybody was yelling. He gets on the loudspeaker and said, "Everybody line up at my office." And he lined the whole class up at his office. And so they got paddled. Now, he didn't beat them down. Nobody parents came to school, but they paddled in elementary back then. So,
he's the parent. I'm still afraid of my elementary school teacher.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, and it's funny how that works, right? If you don't have, and I always say that about little boys to begin with, I don't want to use it as beat for those people who are abused, because, you know, that kind of triggers something in some people. But the thing is, if you do not push back against a little boy, he's going to want to fight you when he gets older. Joe Jackson is absolutely correct about that. The kids who want to fight their parents never got hit by their parents. Now, you can field test that if you want to. But
well, I would say they weren't hit in a corrective fashion. Now, if you're hitting someone just because and you never explain to them why they're being disciplined, then I think they're more likely to want to fight you. But if they understand that you did something wrong and this is the way that I've got to punish you because you won't listen to me when I explain to you, don't do that. Now, it's warranted.
Right. I mean, and I agree. I think that would... What happens is, I mean, it's not that you really have to explain, because sometimes if you're not getting hit for no reason, you know exactly why, you know, somebody hit you as a child. So, you know, I'm not really sure if I kind of feel like abuse is very different, but, you know, you have to kind of discipline little boys or they will fight you a little later. Menendez's, but we're not going to go that far. What I call little kids who do not get disciplined and want to fight their parents. You can't really do that. So on that note, let me take a quick little, let me step out and bring Kai in. We have author and columnist Kai Sins. I'm sure she didn't hear this part, but how are you, Kai? She's on the road.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes,
we can.
Yes, we can. Daniel's on today. So,
hi, Daniel.
Hey, Kai. How you doing?
I'm good. Excuse me if you hear a bunch of noise. I'm going through Dothan, Alabama. Interesting city. Dothan, Alabama. But I'm in a very noisy moving truck. So if I go in and out, I'm not hanging up on you, but that's why.
Oh, man. Funny story is, I was in Dothan, Alabama. I think I was probably about 8 to 10 years old, but the Payne family of families, you know, we were in Dothan for, I think I stayed there about a week.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you can answer this question. Are there any people of color here?
Yes. They're not who you think they are.
Exactly. They shut in cone.
Exactly. Oh, we were in the country when I was there. I'm going to tell you, we're isolated. So I think
gotcha.
Dothan is one of those cities that's right on the edge of Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
Right?
So they're friendly. I mean, they're nice and
whatever.
How you doing? How you spell your name?
Yeah. I was going to say, don't bring her in there, Daniel. Don't bring her in. People like, oh, they're friendly. You just want to leave. We're going to call and check on you every now and then.
Yeah, that's what I said. We'll go through here quickly, yeah. But I caught the very end of a conversation about something about discipline in children. Is that
yes.
what you guys were talking about?
Yes. Joe Jackson said that people are too soft these days. And he said one of the reasons kids nowadays are killing their parents is because they're not disciplined. He said that He whooped his kids with a switch or a belt, but he didn't beat them. He said, you beat somebody with a stick. But he's just saying, on the discipline side, you cannot not discipline your kids, is what Joe Jackson was saying. So I know the critical jokes about Joe Jackson, but we're not talking about him. We're talking about the fact
right.
that sometimes you got to get the switch.
A lot of times. And this coming from a person who's never received a spanking. But it's not
but
me.
Wait a minute. But you've seen them.
I've seen them. I
exactly.
saw my brother and sister get them. That's why I didn't get
That's
one.
That's a deterrent. That's a deterrent, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, when you're in the big family and you're the youngest, sometimes the youngest don't get hit, but don't mistake that from them not seeing it. It didn't scar
That's right.
you. But
I
it
just learned
you.
What not to do.
Exactly.
But,
like,
you know, I don't agree with a lot of things Joe Jackson said. And
well,
I'm a
okay,
advocate.
This black on black crime, I want those flags on you.
I mean, I don't, but this is the one thing I agree. And I'm a strong advocate against child abuse or animal abuse or abuse of any kind. But I agree, discipline, some form of discipline is definitely necessary because that's why kids are so out of control now. Now, my mom didn't spank me and my dad didn't spank me, but they instilled a fear of God in me to let me know.
Exactly.
It was that, I'm going to tell you one more time, and they never had to tell me that one more time.
No, your
name is on that switch, too.
That's right.
Okay, I want to ask Daniel and Kai, I want to ask you both this. Have someone ever said to you, do you want some of this? You know how that goes when they beat all the other kids and they just look at you? That is a threat.
Not directly.
But
I was in
it.
The vicinity.
They don't say it. They just look at you with whatever they have in their hand.
Right.
And you're like,
right.
I'm good. See,
yeah.
Well, no, I was in a situation where neither one of us fessed up, so we both got it with it.
Oh, yeah. You can't cover now.
Yeah.
There was no snitching clause back then. Whether you did or not, you're both getting beat. So, hey.
It's unfortunate, but it's getting out of control. I was reading the statistics of the homicides and so forth in Chicago. I'm like, what is going
so
on
sad.
There, you know? Unbelievable.
I don't even know where to go with that. It's just that you do have to, and I was going to say this earlier, with little boys in particular, I think girls as well, but with little boys specifically, the first thing they do when you put two little kindergartners together, they wrestle, they run, they see who's
right.
the strongest or the fastest. It is
right.
all about overpowering, right? If
it's
you raise
testosterone thing.
Yeah, exactly. If you raise a little kid to, and you're like not pushing back against him, he gets in his head that somehow I can beat you.
Right.
And you got to shut that down.
Exactly.
Now, I'm telling you,
send me to Chicago.
Right.
With a belt and a switch.
I don't know if
that could
be enough at this point.
Yeah, I don't think that could be enough.
Okay. You just give them that look. You know that look, nothing racial, but it's that look that African-American women have. You know, it's their
sure
strongest of men. It'll work.
With the hand on the hip and the neck roll.
Hey, there's been about 50 of us over there. We'll have Chicago straightened up in no time.
All locked out.
I promise you we will.
Yeah, and you know how, Daniel, you know how little boys are. They'll be like, wait till she leaves. You know, we just won't do it in front of them. And when she leaves.
We don't even need a gun. Just send us over there. Let someone have picked us off and sent us over there. Chicago will be pleased.
Turned
around completely.
That's not a bad idea. All the mothers in the hood get together and say, hey.
And send us into some of these gangs. Gang my butt. Get your butt over here and get home. You gotta be here before I get there. That's how you go in.
Explain to me why you need to be in a gang to do what?
Right.
You better take
out
your
right. All his reasons.
Embarrass
him
in front of their gang members.
Yeah. And where you gonna be next year if you need a job? Well, my gang, you think they really gonna look out for you? Well, get on here.
Exactly.
You got dental?
That's right. You go right into the middle of the gang meeting. You pull the head gang leader by his ears. Pull him out of there like you used to do in elementary school, embarrass him in front of the rest of them. Man, please. I'm telling you, we're cleaning all that up.
Okay, Kai is now starting to scare me. I'm going to go clean my room, and I'm going to...
That's right. And pick those clothes up off the floor.
Oh, man.
Pull your pants up.
Exactly. You just can't even look back the wrong way. But, again...
That's right.
And I think women are a little bit different because women get a little sassy with their mama when they turn, I guess, about 12, 13.
That's what I heard. Not this one.
you didn't do that to your mama?
Are you? No. When I say put the fear of God in me for real, oh, yeah, I meant it.
And still to this day. Across the room.
Yeah, I heard about people doing that, but nope, not me.
You heard that before? You heard that story?
I heard that story.
No.
You know, girls getting their lips slapped off and, you know.
Yeah,
nope, not me.
Yeah, the worst story I ever heard about this is I had a client who was the executive director, said that her daughter did not talk to her from the time she was, I think she said, 14 till she was 24. She said it was 10 years. Living in a house.
Living in her house? Oh,
yep. She
no.
Said, she said oh, she no. would turn to her. She was a little light-skinned, so I'm going to really not going to go there. But she said she would turn to her brother and say, tell Mom I said. She did not like her.
And she allowed that?
And she said they're like the best of friends now. But she said it was a 10-year span that she and her daughter she didn't like her.
Oh, that's so. And think about all the time lost and all the conversations that were lost in between that time. Mm.
Well, I'm sure her daughter thinks that. My mother would have gave me about 5 minutes, if that long, and she would say, if you don't talk to me, you ain't eating. So work that out.
And you better be looking for someplace else to live.
Yes,
for real.
You don't get the straw guard.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
The other story about that is that even through our grandparents, they don't allow that. I was in Houston years ago. My grandfather was there, and I don't know if it was a holiday or something, and it was just kind of a bunch of people around. My grandfather said to it was like me and three of my other first cousins or something. He said, you know, I could still beat all of y'all. And we're like, you know. But to tell the truth, nobody was going to test them because we all had
exactly.
to go to sleep. And we didn't
That's
trust
right.
them. We didn't trust
and if
them
he
not
was,
to.
If he was confident enough to say that, he was bad enough to do it.
Yeah, you know what? No, but we had to remember. See, if you know when you instill that when you're little, like we
right.
went to, you know, where my grandfather's from Lake Charles, and so we were in Louisiana. And soon as we came to town one year, I was probably like 12, and he was like, oh, my grandkids here. I got somebody who I want you to fight. And I was like, what? Like my grandfather was like, come here. Y'all go
okay.
shut it down. Yeah, you know. But but I'm just saying, like they establish like a pecking order when you're little. Is all
That's
I'm saying.
Right.
And he probably was just saying that, but he was just like, y'all not
right.
coming here acting like I don't run my little
That's
my
right.
little spot.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So the kids may be missing some of the mentoring of the older folks because you just can't run up on somebody's parents and even your own.
Yeah, and you can't. That's right. I really believe that the breakdown came when we started, one, taking God out of the schools, taking community centers and after-school programs and physical education. When you started taking away all that those places where they exert that extra energy, you have all these kids with idle time and extra energy, and they need a way to release it with no,
right.
you know, with not any fear of consequences. And, you know, single-parent
right.
homes, and it's just, it's like we're losing a generation of people. And it's sad. It's real, and it's scary.
It was
you know,
really
not
sad.
Not just sad, scary.
Yeah, I look back at what happened with Betty Shabazz and her
right.
grandson
yeah.
starting the fire. I mean, you're killing a living legend.
It's
you don't
legend.
Realize who your
yeah.
grandmother is.
Yeah.
And I think we still, and you see some of these incidences where the grandson comes back and kills an uncle and a grandparent.
Right,
you know,
right.
What are
exactly.
you thinking? What have you
yeah.
missed? Or what are you not understanding? If they tell you no, or if they're trying to
to enact some discipline upon you,
and you
take care of that, I'm going to kill you.
Lock their doors from their kids. They have to lock their bedroom doors. Can you imagine that? But, you know, it's interesting about the grandson of Betty Shabazz. I Googled him after I watched the movie, and I saw him. Apparently he's very busy now, and he has spoken up about why he did what he did, and, you know, he goes around the world. He speaks about, you know, the legend of his grandfather and his grandmother and so forth, and very articulate young man, but, you know, he's owned up to what he did, but he talks back to what made him do that at the time. You know, he was acting out, and he admitted to acting out, and he said he wanted to be with his mom. So his line of reasoning back then made sense to him. But, you know, another case of just a lost child, you know. Unfortunate.
Yeah, but, you know, no matter what excuse that he has, and this is just kind of my thing, this is kind of what we do culturally, he needed the beat down. There was no man, he felt no repercussions for what he did. I don't care if he apologized or not. Right.
He needed more than a beat. See, I should have been at that dining room table when he was disrespecting his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should have been there with a belt and a switch. Yeah.
Yep. I'm just saying that's what the big deal is. We got so thrown to the left with talking about you need to talk to them, give them time out and all of that good stuff, and not knowing that there's some animal nature stuff that kicks in here.
If they just said Ninja Kai over there with a belt and switch.
Oh, right. I already know.
And
you know,
what did Madea say? Take a time out and whoop your butt.
That is what the timeout is.
You need those Madeas, you know?
Daniel, I'll tell you this story about Kai. There's some folks walking down the street with their pants hanging below their butt
my God.
Kind of thing. Kai, it was one of her brothers and me just standing there, and it's a bunch of guys. You know, it's Kai that comes off the porch and goes, excuse me, can you pull your pants up?
Because why do I have to see that?
You need to take you on a tour.
You know, he just looked at it. Okay, I'm not going to say it's because Kai's pretty, too, but that factors in. You just can't roll up on people.
I'm just saying. I mean,
let me tell
why
you.
Why do I have to be forced to see that? You know?
Well,
I don't know you like that.
Well, you have to remember with little boys, they only do what little girls like. So they'll pretty much do anything.
What little girls allow?
I shouldn't say allow because they can be defiant, but I'm just saying if they like it, if you say it to them smiling, they're like,
right.
You know.
Exactly. So I said to my nieces one day, and they were about 12 or 13, and this guy, he was really cute. He looked like he may have been on the basketball team, and, you know, he was one of those guys. He wasn't quite sagging, but he was on his way if someone didn't force him in the other direction. So I said to them, and I mean, Rome, you know my nieces. You know who their dad is.
Okay.
So I said to them, I said, he's cute. And he's actually not, you know, because I saw one of them checking him out on the side, you know. And I said, wow, he's cute. And his pants are pulled up. Imagine that. And they were both noticing that and started laughing. And I said, you know, the only reason they do that is because when they're trying to talk to a girl, the girl doesn't say anything. If enough girls said, you can't talk to me until you pull your pants up, that's the guys who pull their pants up. And they were like, yeah, that's true.
Or if little girls did this. Do you know they say that when you have your pants down, that means you're taken by somebody when you're in jail? If they tell you that.
Yes, exactly.
Or you're gay or you're soliciting a gay relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I want a man.
That.
I'm looking for an all man.
Yeah.
I don't need no download,
brother.
And
you know my dad used to say that, and I thought that he was making that story up, but he said 20, 30 years ago. But what was unbelievable is I was watching an episode of Martin the other day from 1993 when Jodeci was on there, and Martin had his pants sagging. Here we are in 2013, and they're still dressing like that. And here in Dothan, Alabama, the one or two that I did see, they didn't get the memo either.
Okay, it is Dothan. You step back into Dothan time. I'm not bashing Dothan because they got a couple of big buildings there. But all I'm saying is this.
Oh, yeah.
Dothan wasn't really that metropolitan when I went, and that was a long time ago. So it
was. Well, I did see Lowe's in a Walmart, so I guess they are progressing.
Lowe's? Well, where can you not see a Walmart?
Exactly.
Walmart is taking over. All right. Now, I'm not going to take a break, because since we have you on here, Kai, Daniel and I are going to tear this up. So we have a new category called Crimes Against Black Men, right?
Okay.
The television show Scandal and the television show Deception. We know that black women are loving these shows, but on both shows, they're kind of dogging black men. So let me do this really quickly. Shonda Rhimes, the creator and executive producer of Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice, also created Scandal. Now, the show dives into the behind-the-scenes political machine of this mesmerizing crisis manager, Olivia Pope, played by Kerry Washington. It's on ABC. Now, Olivia Pope has dedicated her life to protecting and defending the public image of the nation's elite and keeping those secrets under wrap. At the same time, she was a former communications person for the president. She left the White House, started her own management firm, and in hoping to start a new chapter in her life, both professionally and personally, she cut ties with her past, but slowly, with her dysfunctional staff, they specialize in fixing other people's lives but can't fix their own. Now, that is the synopsis of Scandal. But here's the problem. Why is she messing with the president and black people still like the show? I'm going
to
let Kai go first.
I don't
get the big draw to Scandal, and it's actually kind of bad, because if a black man was sleeping with the first lady and she was white, they'd be having a problem. But it's on you, because Daniel and I don't like
it. It's on me. It's on you. What you going to do?
There you go.
Well, I'm not sure where the man – well – now, what is the feeling? Is that it's bashing black men?
Well, the feeling is that there's a series of shows. There's Scandal. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Deception in a second. I have the synopsis of Deception. And you have the powerful black woman. And Sandra Rhimes did a great job with the show in creating it. It's written very, very good. And it's a good storyline from what I understand. But
now,
the images
Deception,
of it.
Which one is Deception?
No, Deception so I'll do Deception. Deception is with a wealthy socialite, Vivian Bowers. She was found dead of an overdose, to no one's surprise. The heiress had some, you know, she was pretty wild and privileged and pretty. And this FBI detective, Will Morano, because I don't watch it, Moreno or something, Laz Alonso, he is on assignment, and Megan Good is his kind of girlfriend. She's not his partner. She kind of works for him, right?
Okay.
And so they're doing this thing. So she visits the house after the funeral, stays to try to figure out who killed her friend, and at the same time, she's sleeping with her brother, her friend's brother.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
So, Scandal. I had to be reminded. I think I saw one episode of Deception, but I've seen many episodes of Scandal. And what I can say about Scandal, I think the part that is so popular among not just women, because I do know a lot of my male friends watch it also, could be their crush on Olivia Pope. I could be wrong. But I think the part that speaks to women is you have this woman with so much power, but she still has flaws. And, you know, in spite of all of her accomplishments, she still has some weaknesses. And I think a lot of women can relate to that. You know, she has imperfections. Now, I'm a little upset with her because she is sleeping with not just the president, but the fact that he's married. But I think that's what makes her relatable, you know, to the broader audience. As far as it being not man bashing, but because I guess what's confusing to me is her second man in charge is a young black man, and the man she's in love with is a man in a high position within the White House, and he's black. her weakness is that she happens to be in, she's in love with the president, who happens to be white.
No, he doesn't happen to be white. I think they could have cast somebody black. See, I was going to let her go, Daniel, but I just couldn't do it. Go ahead,
but, you know, but you do know this story is loosely based on a real-life event. So she's not just writing this for a story. This is actually based on a woman's life.
Well,
Lucy
no, no.
Bates.
It's the character is based on a real person. The
right.
story isn't. The character is.
So perhaps the character happened to be involved with the man who just happened to be white.
That was a nice try. I'm gonna, you know what? I'll applaud you on that one.
Going for that one.
No, but that was a nice try. You went all
okay.
out on that one.
Okay, so let's just say if he wasn't white, would it still be a problem? Would the fact that she's sleeping with a married man and the president of the United States when his wife is pregnant, would that be okay if he was black?
You tell me. This
that
is your
no?
this is your show.
No. No, it wouldn't. Either way, it wouldn't be okay just simply for the fact that she's sleeping with a married man who has a pregnant wife and he's a president. The fact that he's white,
okay.
Meh.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't care one way or another, but here's the thing. This is black on black crime, and we're talking about images that are created and is seeping into everybody else's consciousness about how black and white works, right?
Right.
So if we have a series of programs that are showing, you know, hey, white women can sleep or black women can sleep with white men to be okay. If that is our theme today, like,
okay,
what
well,
does that
would
say?
I be wrong to say that black men have been sleeping with white women for years? Isn't it about time a white woman slept with a powerful black man? Would that
no,
be a crime?
I wouldn't say
like
it's about
that.
Time
no,
for it.
No, not with this tit for tat. Come on.
I'm going to defer this conversation to Natalie because I wouldn't say it was about that.
I just thought
all
I
right.
didn't check that part. I'm just,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you couldn't slip that fast. You need to come
in. I mean, at least, at least she upgraded. She went all the way to the top.
All right. On that note, I want to say thank you for listening to Black on Black Crime. Our calling number is 909-265-918-9. 89. If you're on the line already, hit 1. We will let you join into the program. If you're in the chat room, send your questions there. It is time for Daniel to go in on our topic. We're talking about deception and scandal. Is this a crime against black men? You're up, Daniel. I know we're.
Oh, man. This one was, a visceral reaction for me when I first watched Scandal, because I would hear people mention Scandal. Scandal's coming on. I was like, what's so good about this show that everybody is so excited about it? So I decided to tune in. And I could not handle watching this black woman who has the power, this, that, and the other, being groped, fondled, and being taken by this white male. It was something that I didn't understand my reaction. And then once I thought about it, and this may be a reach for some people, but what I saw was the same prevailing theme of the white man in power having his way with the black woman who is in a, you know, what seemed to be a subservient role, and all he was getting was what he wanted from her, but that was it. He was not leaving his wife, and not that I wanted him to leave his wife, but here I had a sister who had reached the pinnacle in her of her profession, yet she was settling for less from this white man when she's always said how she wants so much more for herself. Why would you take less from some man when you can have the best of everything? And especially when I found out that there was a black male who was in pursuit of her, who cared about her and wanted to make her his girl, his wife, his lover, this, that, and the other, yet she pushed that aside and went for settling for less. I just could not handle that.
Mm.
I said, if all black women would have really sit back and think about that and say, you tell us black men all the time how there are no good black men out there and you want this for yourself and you go out and you do all these wonderful things to make yourself more marketable, yet you fall for the okey-doke and go for this white man in power, I couldn't handle it, man. I still can't.
And that just seems it's so appealing. Like, and you know what, Kai, I have
can
to say
interject?
This. Yes, but I'm going to let
sure.
you interject, but I want to say this
okay.
on, and Daniel's from his perspective as well. I felt the same way. I can't watch that show.
And can I just say, first, we might need to do a whole other show on interracial relationships when I have a cup of coffee, because, you know, this is a touchy subject. But I appreciate the fact that you guys say, I couldn't handle that. Those are very powerful words. I appreciate the fact that you can admit that you couldn't handle that. But what I'm trying to get you all, get you both to see is, that's what we've endured for years. So I even understand, Daniel, how you can probably put it, if I'm not mistaken, you were looking at it as like a master and a slave, and, you know, he's having his way with this woman. And, you know, if I'm understanding correctly, when it boils down to it, that's what it's kind of looking like. Not so much a slave, but, you know, this white man and all his power taking advantage of his servant, exactly.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
But that could be. But what I'm saying, because this may be a subject that men will probably never understand, if that was a white man, a white woman, and a black man, he would get all kinds of kudos. So that same burning feeling that you two have that you can't handle, we have to deal with that, not just on a white level, but on a Latino level, on an Italian level, on an everything but a black woman level. So if it burns that much just for you guys, the groping, the this, the that, that's just the one incident that you guys see. But, like, turn it around.
Now, see, here I'm going to help you out with my perspective on this. It's not that I care one way or another. I have to say that for the record. I am saying about the images of that going out. I can't.
Right.
It has no appeal to me at all. So I don't watch it. Right.
But it's interesting that you say that, because I have a couple of male friends, and we had this conversation. I have black male friends, and they have a real problem with black women dating white men, even though they dated white women. And they're honest. They're like, Daniel, and we appreciate, you know, we have these deep discussions, and I ask all these questions, and they're very honest. They say it feels almost like the black woman is being violated.
Well,
isn't
Kai, I'd like to interject, though, if it's a monogamous relationship or a relationship between two people who decide or they're on
equal
footing, I think that would be different.
I want to be in a relationship with someone because I love them.
Right.
They just happen to be a different race. I don't have a problem with that.
Exactly.
But the problem I have is this black woman who has reached the pinnacle of her profession is settling for less from a man who can't give her all that she needs or wants and desires, the very same thing that she was receiving from a black man. She would rebuke that and say, I'm not going to stand for that.
Exactly. Right. Exactly
right.
The problem, right? And
right,
so
and I see that image. But the scandal is that she was in love with the president before she met the black man.
Okay, and first of all, he was still married when she met him, right?
Yes.
And so
even on a
clear day, you can't really cheer for her, because during the campaign when he met her,
he was
went
married.
For it. He
right.
was married, right?
Right.
And so if you look at in Megan Good's case, I guess that guy isn't married and it's a childhood friend, and you can just say that she's fallen for him. That may be a little bit different because he's not married. But at the same time, I am talking about generally how those images disrupt us, right? There's something in black women that is appealing about her as a character that is kind of problematic for me. So when Daniel says what he's saying, just saying we all have these issues with we don't have any good black men and relationships, and I'm above that, and being that I accomplished this and that, those ego issues inside of the scandal is more problematic.
Right.
I totally
understand where you guys are coming from looking objectively. I think the part that is so intriguing about her is because she holds so much power. And, you know, this young black woman in this very powerful position. Now, I, too, the issue with her, you know, which I guess is what creates the scandal, the fact that she is seeing a married man and a married man who's expecting a child, that's the part that I don't agree with. And the fact that he's a married man who's the, you know, commander-in-chief makes it even far worse. But
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, but the part that I think draws the audience in is because she's got really more power than the president himself, because she's so, not power, she's more influential on the president than his own wife.
But I want to remove her from that title for a moment and say the woman, the person, the being, the soul, the spirit, the heart, she has no power over. She's giving all of that away. And one analogy I made is that if you lived in a house,
mm-hmm.
Would you pay the mortgage in someone else's house? No, you wouldn't. So she's paying,
right.
She's investing all her emotional capital in this man who she can't, quote unquote, own. This is not her man to have.
Exactly.
So why would
you
put all that into someone else?
Married. Is
she
problem
married?
Because married or because
if,
white?
If he were a single president, and there's only been one president bachelor in the history of the country, which was James Buchanan, and he was rumored that he was gay. That's another subject. But the fact that if this man were, and he wanted to decide, you know what, like he's saying now, I'm going to put this all on the, I'm going to ask for a divorce and I'm going to be with this black woman. If he was doing that as a single man, I would be all for that.
Right.
100%, because she can win in that scenario. She cannot
mm-hmm.
win in this scenario. And she's
right.
losing all of her soul and spirit, if you ask me, to
right.
someone who can't give her what she deserves.
So she's settled.
That's my issue with the show. She's settling.
Okay.
She's doing the
right.
same thing that many black women are doing right at this very moment, settling. When she doesn't have to.
Right. And that's a really old story. It's like the girl who goes out with the guy who's selling drugs because he got more money, then she find out that he, you know what I mean? Like, it's an old story. It's like he has power, so that's why she's attracted to the power guy. And so it's, by the way, on a side note, Scandal is the number one series in its time slot for the sixth consecutive broadcast with young adults. Scandal marked its second highest rating ever this past week. In fact, over the course of the last five originals, Scandal is at the top. And it also delivered the series the top five highest telecast ever. Scandal. All right.
Oh, wow.
Well, people like Scandal, and I understand that, but I just don't.
I understand. And that's why we're taking.
Black, for our sisters, I want more for y'all than that. Especially
you know
when
what?
Y'all are asking for that very same thing.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't think they know what that just that perception is. It's like saying, I admire her drive and her whatever, but she's gotten to a position where I bet you that character around some black man who has a regular job will look down her nose at him.
You know
and that is the problem.
Can I share something with you guys that
yes, ma'am.
You may know or you may not know, and they may kick me out of the Sisterhood Club for sharing this with you. I've been a woman all my life and black most of my life. What I will tell you, and what you will find if you ask any woman who looks like, feels like, and has the experiences that I have had, Daniel makes a good point when he says that she's settling because she's got this good black man who's willing to give her everything, but she's turning him away. That good black man that she has, and it's not about the power and the prestige, it's about just being a good black man who has the same values that the average person like me may have. Believe it or not, it's not really as big of a pick as you think it is. And you've heard it before, when you weed out the gay men and the men in jail, and the men with 10 kids, and the men who are abusive, and this isn't an attack on black men, but this is a fact. If someone like me is looking for a black man who shares the same interests that I share, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's the truth, who share the same interests that I share, the chances of me meeting someone like that is very, very, very slim in a city like this. So you find a lot of people in my position who will settle, unfortunately, as opposed to being alone, they'll settle for Mr. Right now instead of Mr. Right, because no one wants to be alone, and no one definitely wants to be lonely. And I'm speaking from experience because I know quite a few people who are morally good women, good jobs, raise their kids, but go home to an empty house every day. So you have a man who's paying them attention, who's validating their feelings, who's taking them out to dinner, who's making them feel special, and you weigh the options. Well, do I go home and look at my cat, or do I spend a little time with someone who values me? And it's unfortunate, but there's very few and far between men like you and Rome and, you know, Low-Key. I've been fortunate enough to grow up surrounded by men like you, but I assure you, even in my circle of friends, a lot of my friends didn't have that same experience.
Yes.
Hello?
I'm here. I'm feeling
you understand
like,
what I'm saying?
Well, what I'm trying to figure out, you said you were worried about being thrown out of the sisterhood club. What did you reveal that was so taboo?
The fact that you wouldn't believe how many women are seeing men who are married or in relationships with someone else.
But they're quick to say how it's so wrong, but they'll do it.
Yeah, but some of them don't feel like they have a choice. Now, me, I'm not trying to grandstand or act like I'm better than anyone else. You know, there are certain boundaries. There are certain boundaries I try not to cross. Being a man who's married or a man who's in a relationship with someone else, it's not something that I would do, but I understand and I know people who've been alone for so long, they're tired of being alone.
I want to interject on that point. And these are the very same women who will be down on black men about cheating.
You know what? Honestly, not all of them. Some of them are hopeless romantics who keep holding out for the black man, but the black man is not holding out for them. He's not interested. I mean, it's a painful fact, but he's not interested.
I'm talking about in their specific scenarios where they are cheating with black men, but then we'll talk about how black men are dogs. She's complicit in the affair now, but she will be sent one of the girlfriends talking about how black men are dogs.
And that was my point, is that she is kind of, her character is the character that, even when you watch social media stuff where you see women talk about her and say, hey, you know what, she's going to get it and blah, 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 and they talk about her stature and her personal stuff is jacked up. And I know that's the part of what the storyline is.
Right.
But what we're saying is that when you admire, you are what you eat. And when you admire that, we seem to forget that black women who are in those particular in those socioeconomic levels do look down their nose at people to some degree. And at the same time, we're watching her very badly flawed person go back and become the hero of other people. Now, we're not talking about Kerry Washington or Megan Good. We're talking about the character.
Right, talking about the character.
Right.
Now, she's not someone I would put on my Shero Hall of Fame, like next to Michelle Obama and Beyonce. She's not going up there. But as far as her accomplishment, that would be something, a goal to aspire to. As far as her decision-making, no, I totally couldn't agree with that. And if she was a good friend of mine, as a good friend, I would tell her, you know, I can't condone what you're doing. And I've had this conversation with good friends of mine. That's why we're good friends. I'm not saying that I agree with their decision, but I understand. It's not one that I personally would make, but I understand why some of them feel like they had to make it. And it's unfortunate. You know, and then they think that women who make money don't want a blue-collar man and this and that, and they're looking down their nose. That's not the case here in Atlanta. The case here in Atlanta is there's a lot of men that don't want the quality of women. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of women here who have some issues too. But there's a lot of men who don't want the caliber of women that Atlanta has to offer.
I agree with that, Kai, because there are some men who can't handle women that make more money than them or that have more power than them.
And believe it or not, you have men here 30, 40, 50, 60 years old who are still playing the games that their sons should be playing in high school and college. They're still playing those games.
Uh-oh. All right.
You
on,
know,
on that note.
Got to deal with that. You have grown sons, and you have to deal with a grown man who's playing the same game that your son is playing. And he's
okay.
In high school.
All right, on that note, we're going to bring in our commissioner because I'm sure she's going to yell at us for all of this stuff. How are you, Kathleen?
Hi, commissioner.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Happy Monday, Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, no.
Happy Monday.
I know. All right, now we're. I'm sure you heard we're kind of in a heated conversation about the difference between the scandal, and again, we put a kind of a twist on this just to say that were those the TV shows Scandal and Deception, is that kind of a crime against black men? You know, this black on black crime. So we just, for those people who are on the line, those people who are listening, black on black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. But in this case, we're making an exception to say, are these programs programming a certain attitude against black men? So,
I know you shared with me a little bit about this, but I actually didn't have a chance to take a look at it. All I know so far, so I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if you have time, if not, I'll just listen in and get caught up. But all I know is that black women love these shows.
See, and you can tell Kathleen came in on the end of this because we were just cutting the show up. And that was Daniel's point. They love this show. And
they do.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Commissioner.
Go ahead, Daniel.
They love seeing someone like themselves in a position of power or actually just being on television in a positive role. Well, I don't say positive, but in a powerful role. And I get that. But I just have some issues with some of the other things that go on. But go ahead.
Yes, and they love they love the actresses too, of course, and the fashion, and, you know, to see something a little bit different than, what we typically see, because these are not roles. These are not roles that black women were typically seen in, you know. So, yes, that is why. I hear a lot of sisters saying they love the show, and I actually have never had the opportunity to see either one, but I will. Jerome, tell me how I can.
And it's just not black women watching that show.
Oh,
that show is being watched by, it's got a legion of followers.
Again, it's in the number one series for its
right time
spot, and I'm trying to think of what's up against Scandal. There is another popular show that's up against Scandal.
I
didn't hear you, Kathleen.
I don't know if it suits, but it should be. That's another one. Now, that show, wow.
What's
the
name of it?
The lead role.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have
to
watch
that.
It's Suits. It's with.
Oh, Suits.
Oh, Suits.
Yeah.
Suits,
what's
yeah.
his name? Dwight. Lawrence Fishburne's wife.
Yes. And also, Person of Interest is actually pretty good, too.
Yes.
Like, I think that's a good show.
Very good, yeah.
But let's just, as I go, I wanted to say Kerry Washington, in case you don't know, was in Save the Last Dance in Ray and Last King of Scotland, I Think I Love My Wife, Lakeview Terrace, For Colored Girls, and the BET animated series Black Panther. Like, she's done a lot of work, by the way. And Megan Good, also, who's done a lot of work. We're not talking about them, but she was in Showtime's acclaimed series Californication, which I never watched. I Think Like a Man, which I recently watched. We'll have to talk about that later. Jump in the Broom, Love Guru, Stomp the Yard, East Bayou, Waist Deep with Tyrese Gibson, Biker Boys, Deliver Us from Eva, Roll Bounce, Saw 5, and of course, Kai, say it with me. Friday.
Wait, we got the Friday and
yeah,
the game. You had a recurring role on the game.
Oh, she was on the game.
Uh-huh.
Now, Megan Good started in commercials at the age of four, and to date, she's completed over 60 national commercials.
Oh,
she's
wow,
been
really?
A long time.
I would have never thought that.
Yeah, she's been in business for a while. So I'm not criticizing those guys taking these roles. They're good roles, but we're talking about the storyline and the climate and how that relates to the impression that they're leaving. So that was my thought about it, just to say these conversations, it's not that they're not necessary, but technically they just seem like they just started taking over the social media side. And again, Grey's Anatomy did it for a while. And what was the other show? Because Isaiah Washington was on there, and he was dating another doctor.
He dated the Asian woman. And then Taye Diggs was on whatever show he was on. He dated the Caucasian
Private
woman.
Private Practice, which was another Shonda Rhimes show.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So we're not going off on the interracial dating part. We're just talking about the issue of these characters and the character flaws and what's gravitating people to them. Like Kathleen says, women love the show. The guys, not so much.
And Jerome, I know you're going to mute me, but I'm wondering if this is not a black-on-black crime against black women with all these black guys always dating a non-black woman, but I didn't say that.
Kai did earlier, so you're not getting muted for that.
We're here.
Daniel, we're going to mute both of them. Okay.
No, let him speak.
No, you can speak about that. That's understandable. But we're not talking about real life. Like, we're talking about the images. Because, yes, that is true, and we can start naming names for days on that. But the problem is, if that role was reversed, would people gravitate towards – now, you know, and I'm a – strategist myself, right? So in politics, you know, you have a lot of interaction with everybody. But I can't imagine if the strategist or the person who make the calls, now we tell the politicians what to say and do and why you can't wear this and what words you need to use and what room you're in. That's what she's doing, right? So I do that by profession as well. But I can't imagine if her character was a guy and he was sleeping with the first lady. I can't imagine what the fight would be if he was a black guy sleeping with the first lady.
Well, you know, that's interesting when you spin it that way, because I was thinking the other way. If it was a black president and her character was white.
Yeah, no, that's a flag. That's a flag.
No, I would think that you'd get more male watchers.
I don't think so. I think television is mainly driven by women. I think that's the point, like that they are appealing to women. So,
thinking they would be watching that like a football game.
Oh, you know what that means, Kai.
What?
That means you go to commercial. You said watch it like a football game?
Like the Super Bowl. I mean, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beyonce was on and there was a game on.
Oh, yeah. Some game.
I thought we talked about that before. Daniel, don't you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
There was a game on something right after Beyonce went off stage.
Guys tackling each other. Something going on.
Okay, no, we won't go through all of that, but you know what I'm saying. We watch for the cheerleader stuff. So anyway, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can join us 909-265-9189. We're going to take a really quick break and come back. We're going to talk about, you know, this Real House Husbands. I have a clip from that, so I figured we might as well laugh about that. So you listen to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back right after this message.
This is about moving forward by looking back and 90 years of doing what others are not. It's about open-mindedness to the way things open and setting precedent. Presence. It's shifting the concept of shifting. It's about finding inspiration in the unexpected and people of means who have found meaning in it. This is about marching to the beat of a different drum and being an audiophile's dream within a dream. This is about making genius look simple and making noise by being quiet. It's about big ideas with smaller footprints and seeing more of the world, because there's so much world to see. This is about going places others aren't. Introducing the Lincoln Motor Company.
All right, family photo.
Charlie, stop punching your brother. Sarah, stop texting and look at your dad.
I can get to do the one.
Okay, we'll just look at your dad so we can get the shot.
Give me a ninja.
Got it.
What?
Okay, wait.
Yeah, I got it. Come here.
Nobody move, especially you, Charlie.
Let's go.
How'd you do that?
Automagically.
Let's see. Combine pictures with Best Face on the new Samsung Note 2. Available at all major carriers.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Ah!
Your wife. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your wife to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your wife back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder. Hi. It seats 7. Hi. Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's tri-zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended.
Ours too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
If you don't mind, would you pull that bass up a little bit, my mom? Pull up them drums, a little high hat. I want to hear them drums kicking so hard, you can feel it way back in Mississippi.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Your host, Jerome, on with Daniel. What's going on, Daniel?
Hey.
Right, and we lost Kai for some reason. We don't know what happened to her. Matter of fact, I think Kai's back. We have the Commissioner Kathleen on. She must have a mute.
I'm here.
Okay, see, she's present. And Kai, are you with us?
Here.
See? Say that again, Kai.
Is that Teddy Pendergrass singing in the background?
No, that's Kathleen Hulman in the background. All right, you can join us. This is Black on Black Crime. You know, call in 909-265-9189. If you have any questions, put it in the chat. You know, we talked about, that scandal versus deception. We also talked about Joe Jackson and beating your kids a little bit earlier. But now we're going to go on to the world of entertainment. I'm not sure if you guys have seen The Boondocks. Kai, have you seen The Boondocks?
Sorry, no.
Okay. Kathleen, have you seen The Boondocks?
What's in Boondocks?
The Boondocks, the cartoon Aaron McGruger.
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay. And Daniel?
I haven't seen it. I saw one other show. I don't know if it is or not. I have seen it.
Okay, now, the Boondocks creator, Aaron Brueger, is working on bringing a new movie to the silver screen called Uncle Ruckus. Now, for those who are not familiar with the Boondocks, or who is familiar, I mean, knows who Uncle Ruckus is. Uncle Ruckus is, he's like a hard-working, flirt-spitting handyman. You love to hate. If you're not familiar with him, it's difficult to describe him without violating anybody's hate speech policies. Uncle Ruckus as a cartoon character. Now, they have started a campaign through this website called Kickstarter. McGruger is raising funds for this R-rated theatrical comedy called Uncle Ruckus. He wants to produce it this year. The movie will be written and directed by McGruger. And Gary Anthony Williams, who does the voice for the character, is going to play him. Now, the story is currently being written. The other Boondocks characters will not be a part of the show, by the way. And I guess it was McGruger that just said the animated feature would cost around $20 million, but to do just an Uncle Ruckus movie, it would cost a fraction of that. So there's the site called Kickstarter. You can actually go donate to development of this movie. He said it's the first time he did this, and so he wants to see how it works out and see if people are going to help out. Now, his goal is to raise $20,000 by March 1st, but I think, you know, as of a few days ago when he first started it up, he raised $27,000 so far.
Wow. Like
early. They're on path to exceed the $200,000.
Wow.
Now, if you're familiar with Boondocks, Uncle Ruckus is like this really racist black man.
Right.
Who just does not really like black people. So in Aaron McGruger's sense of humor, which is crazy anyway, he has like different pledge levels. So if you pledge $1 or more, you're going to get the Honey Boo Boo level. That's what it's called. $10 is the Hank Williams Jr. $15 is Ted Nugent, and then there's the Clint Eastwood and the J. Edgar Hoover and the Rush Limbaugh and the Tarzan and the Bush and the Reagan levels. But those levels are different. Like, so if you pledge the Ronald Reagan level, for example, you get co-producer credit. Your backer will appear in the movie, and they get like premiere tickets, travel and accommodations, a signed script, and a bag of goodies. So it's just interesting that people gave. So here's some of the internet comments. Yeah, here's some of the internet comments. Someone said that they use their dollars wisely. Good luck, and may white God be with you. That's a joke from the Boondocks because he doesn't like people who have a black God in their house. You know, he always says white Jesus and all the time in the movie. And there's another comment that says, if the movie doesn't happen, the terrorists would have won. I don't know, people in their humor. All right, and another one says, there was no decision. They backed it instantly. Some of the smartest stuff ever made, the Boondocks, especially Ruckus, Uncle Ruckus, is a test of new adequacies for me. He said he can't wait. So, you know, if you want to go, it's on Kickstarter for those people who want to invest in that movie. I just thought it was funny. Now,
good marketing tool. I mean, that's really good marketing.
Yeah, nobody's really been that successful at it, but Aaron McGruger's maybe the first one to raise public funds for a movie.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And also with other movies coming out, there's this movie called Mafia with Vin Rains and Pam Grier. I'm sorry. It's Pam Grier and Vin Rains and Robert Patrick. That's going to be Grier to you.
Oh, please. No, you didn't.
I try not to pay any attention. That hate stuff.
Is that
work
coffee?
Oh, you want to go there. All right. That's going to be out on February 5th on DVD. It's already been out, but Pam Grier, Vin Rains. And another film that was actually completed in 2009 was directed by Rahman Dunbar. He directed. It's called Pastor Brown. It will be released on Lifetime on February 16th. Stars Sally Richardson Whitville, or Sally Richardson Esprit, whatever you want to call it. She also produces. She also produces it, and it has an ensemble of stars like Michael B. Jordan, Nicole Ari Parker, Michael Beach, Tasha Smith, Keith David, Tisha Campbell Martin, Creflo Dollar, and Ernie Hudson. That's going to be on Lifetime.
You had me at Rahman Dunbar.
I had everybody
at Sally Creflo Dollar.
You lost you at
Creflo Dollar?
Yeah. You lost me at Creflo Dollar,
right? I mean,
let me rephrase that. Sally Richardson, she's the main character. All right.
Okay, I'm with that. But
you did say Creflo Dollar, right?
Not really. I thought I saw his name somewhere in there, but since he's not on the credits, we won't give him none. We'll just
he may be acting in like a pastoral role or something.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a...
Hide your wallet.
All right, there will be no black-on-black crime scene here.
Okay.
But hide your wallet anyway. Now, here's the thing. You guys have seen Real House Husbands? Husbands of Hollywood?
Real Husbands
love
of Hollywood.
Love it, man. I love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Last week I was going to run a clip of it and did not have it on the board. So here I'm going to leave everybody's mic on because this is one funny show. So we're going to run a break of Real House Husbands for the people who haven't seen it. I think we have about a minute of it. So check it out. This is a preview. Comes on, I think, on Tuesday.
What is a Mitch? A Mitch is a male version of a That's right. Instead of saying bitch, I say Mitch. I basically take the B and replace it with an A. Most brilliant thing I've ever done in my life.
It's silly.
Who's the biggest Mitch on the show?
Who's the biggest Mitch on the show?
You can call him Mitch. You can call him Kevin.
Robin Thick.
Walking around, moving his hair all the time.
I'm a sexy Mitch.
Kevin Boris, Robin, all of them. Give me my lotion.
It rhymes with Kevin Tart.
Where's my moose? Mitches.
My advice for Robin would be to go get yourself a white woman. We don't want you on this side. Neither do our women. Come home, Paula. My advice for JB would be to swallow before you start talking. So nobody want to hear all that stuff.
Do I got any advice for JB? Hell no. Why would I want him to succeed?
Who's the real star of The Real Husband of Hollywood?
I don't know. If I had to guess, I'd probably say me.
What kind of question is that? I mean, who's the money? Huh? Me, that's who. I'm about to change my name to pay-per-view, because you got to pay to see me. Write it down. Somebody write that down.
Reality just got a little unreal. The Real Husbands of Hollywood on BET. Nobody's got you like we got you.
Now, that is one funny show.
Yeah,
I'm not saying anybody's
right. I love it.
Well, I know we were all kind of holding back from laughing, but yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The Mitch rhymes with Kevin Tart.
I kept thinking.
Yeah, I love that show.
You know, I kept thinking, I'm not going to jump in on the Paula Patton thing because, you know, that's easy for all of us to do. But I just wanted to say, hopefully everybody got a chance to see that show.
Yeah.
I still don't know what Paula Patton looks like.
You don't know what Paula Patton looks like?
What?
Yeah, I have to Google her.
What? She's been jumping the broom.
No, forget jumping the broom. Look at, she was in Hitch. She was the girl that Will Smith came up to on Hitch. She was in the movie with Denzel. What was that guy?
Wait, you talking about Paula Patton?
God.
Or, no, you're talking
yes,
about
Lord.
Eva.
There you go.
Eva Mendez.
You googled it, didn't you?
Yes,
never
Lord.
Never
mind. That is someone else's wife.
You
I'm
just
walking down your window shopping.
Hey. I'm window shopping.
You're creating
I'm
the
store.
Channel.
Wait.
I'm not going to the store. I'm not going to the store like Fitch or Fritz, whatever his name is.
They like Scandal. They like Scandal.
I know.
Like Paula Patton.
Don't create a scandal.
What are you?
I'm just
Commissioner, what were you saying? I'm sorry, we cut her off. we missed Kathleen.
She was in that movie with Common and Queen Latifah when Common was an NBA player. And
yes.
Right.
That's what
she
it was.
Was that basically the co-star in that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, we're
I
not paying attention from that.
She's also in the movie with... With Big Boy and what's his name? She's the main character.
Ooh, yes, Lord.
That's right. With with Andre 3000 and Big
yes,
Boy. Yes,
Andre 3000. Yes, thank you.
Okay, Paula Patton is kind of fly. I'm just gonna say that right out.
She's fly.
I'm with the. I'm trying to keep it low.
She's giving my girl Maya what?
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that. I got to tell you. Never mind. Kai, Kevin, y'all still here? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. There you are. I was about to take this someplace else.
All of that is kind of fly. Megan Good is kind of fly.
Okay, you know what?
All of that
I only did that for the ladies. Y'all don't know what Daniel and I are going to talk about after we get y'all out of here. Because I'm with Kevin Hart on this. Forget Robin Thicke. Forget him.
Go
come
back
on, Paula.
Now, Robin does have a large African-American woman following.
Whatever to your African-American population for Robin Thicke. I'll mute her soon. All right. On that note, thanks for tuning in. We're going to see you again next week on Black on Black Crime. We have Kai, Daniel, and our commissioner, Kathleen. Thanks for joining us, and see you next week. All right, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Y'all have a great week.
You too.
Peace.
Thank you.
Peace. Peace.